Love that song. Love that song. Hey, welcome everybody. Glad that you guys are here. I want to point out the obvious, my giant sippy cup that I have. And I point it out because if you see it laying around in random places, I've lost it. So remind me where I left it. Anyway, glad that you guys are out here online. Wherever you are in the world, again, Pastor Paphras, wherever you guys are joining us, I'm so thankful for you, and I'm so thankful for you guys in-house here. Summer is a difficult time where people are constantly traveling, and the smaller your church is, the more difficult it is because you can off the top of your head go, well, they are on vacation, they're on vacation, they're on vacation. But I know that whoever needs to hear this message is going to hear it because that's how the Lord works, right? Whoever needs to hear it. And with that, before I even get going, I want to open up in prayer before we open up in prayer. So would you join me in that? Father, I lift this message up to you, Lord, and ask that your will be done, that your words would flow through me, that anything I say that is not of you would just be forgotten immediately. But the things that reflect your heart, Lord, I just pray that they penetrate into soul and spirit and that lives are changed through what they hear today. Because I know you have given me a message that will do that. And I trust in that. So Lord, this message is yours. I lift it up to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're in a series on prayer. And for those of you who haven't been here for a while, or maybe this is your first time, again, welcome if this is your first time here. Series on prayer is not necessarily how we usually teach. What we usually do is we'll pick a book of the Bible and we'll go through it chapter by chapter from start to finish so that by the time we're done, you have an excellent understanding of what that particular book of the Bible is about. We rarely teach a theme or an idea except for now. We're doing it right now as kind of a segue between series, and we're teaching on prayer. And the reason I'm teaching on prayer is because, number one, the Lord put it on my heart that so many people misunderstand what prayer is. And by misunderstand, I mean more often than not, what we do is we overcomplicate it. We all have an intuitive idea of how to talk to someone. Even a baby can communicate their ideas with somebody. Sometimes it's just through crying. Sometimes prayer is just that. It's just crying out to God. And what we do as human beings is we massively overcomplicate it. So many times we overcomplicate it to the point to where we're just stuck. We're like paralyzed. I can't do it. I need somebody else to do it for me, or I just won't do it. God will figure it out. It's one of the most powerful things that we have access to as Christians, and we just don't use it to its fullest extent. So I wanted to teach on the different kinds of prayer. And the example that we've been using is the Lord's Prayer. Right? It's the Lord's Prayer because the Lord Jesus is the one who prayed it, and he did that during the Sermon on the Mount when he specifically said, this then is how you should pray. So we're going to start out by doing that together. Matthew 6, 9 through 13. Pray along with me. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I love that it is such a perfect prayer. As I've said before, it's considered perfect not just because Jesus was the one praying it, which is enough criteria, but because it contains all the pieces that you want in a good prayer, that ideally a prayer should have. It has adoration, like, God, you are so good. It has confession, acknowledging that we have failed, acknowledging that we need him. It's thanksgiving, and it's then finally supplication, which is just a fancy word for asking Just ask what you need. Scripture gives us not only the not only permission to ask for what we need, but it says, do it. Ask for what you need. Your Father already knows what you need. Just ask him, because he wants to give it to you. And we have to keep that in mind as we go through all these different types of prayer. So we've already covered prayers of adoration, prayers of lament, prayers of thanksgiving, prayers of petition. I hope you guys have been getting something out of these as we've gone along. Maybe just something that will stick in your heart as like just something that maybe you've been struggling with that just helps you to pray that kind of prayer. Today we're going to talk about healing prayers. And healing prayers are one of the most difficult types of prayer to talk to somebody about. Not one of the most difficult types to do. One of the most difficult ones to teach on. One of the most difficult ones to talk to someone else about. And the reason for that is because especially those people who are very, consider themselves prayer warriors, if you've heard that term, or somebody who's very, very invested in prayer, or very invested in healing specifically, they get territorial about this. Don't step on my ideas of what healing is. Don't step on my ideas of what God can do and what he can't do. It's very, very contentious sometimes. And so my prayer today is that you're going to hear words from the Lord. No matter what comes out of my mouth, that he's going to take that and he's going to make it fit what you need to hear. His truth and not mine. I never want to be accused of speaking my truth. It's his truth, and it's the truth of the Lord. The reason I think healing prayers get so difficult and also that they're so important is because it's one of the types of prayer between thanksgiving and adoration and confession. It's one of the types of prayer where we are literally saying, Lord, I want to see your miraculous power manifest right now. I want to see the power of God manifest in this world. And by doing that, tear down all of the works of the enemy. Tear down his lies, tear down his sickness, the disease, all the things that the fallen world brings with it. Lord, I want to see your power overcome that and manifest right now. That's what we're praying for when we're praying for healing. And Satan does not like that. He wants to do everything he can, first of all, to keep you from praying that to begin with. Just go to the doctor, take a pill, gut it out, do whatever you got to do. Don't pray for it. He wants to do that because it is such a powerful thing when the power of God manifests in a healing way, it changes lives. If the power of God manifests in the other spiritual gifts, in hospitality, in exhortation, and any other spiritual gifts, lives are touched, but they may not be changed quite in the way that witnessing healing does. Anybody here witness healing before? I'll ask this again later. Your life and the way that you look at that has forever been changed because you witnessed it. And many of you did not raise your hands, which is another subject that we're gonna talk about. We have the ability, when Jesus healed, we saw him walk around the Galilee during his ministry, and he was healing just with a word, sometimes without even a word. He would heal people. Everybody that came to him, he would heal because he was so directly connected to the Father. So directly connected. He knew who to heal, how to heal them, what they needed to hear, because he was 100% directly connected to the Father. And we can be that connected to the Father. We can be, through the Holy Spirit, we can be that connected to the Father. And that's where we need to be if our prayers for healing are going to be effective. So I'm going to get into the message. There's so much scripture that deals with healing. So much scripture that deals with healing that it's obviously a huge part of God's plan. It's a huge part of God's plan for redemption. Not the first one by any means, But one of the older ones, Isaiah the prophet in chapter 53, verse 5, prophesied about a coming Messiah. And he said, he was pierced for our offenses, he was crushed for our wrongdoings, the punishment for our well-being was laid upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Many translations say by his stripes, but they're simply talking about his wounds on the cross. By his wounds we are healed. This has been used as a support for healing prayer for centuries, right? And rightly so. It's kind of the go-to for healing prayer. But I think it only scratches the surface of what that's about. By the wounds of Christ, we are healed. Typically, we think about it as physical healing. You know, my broken leg is healed. My sore back is healed. My headaches have gone away. But that is such a small part of what Christ's atonement on the cross did. It made supernatural healing available to all of us. And not just healing in physical body, but in mind and in spirit. All of those are part of the picture that Jesus died to give us. So again, that question, hold your hand up for just a second more if you have seen miraculous healing like that. See miraculous healing. Okay, maybe half-ish. Here's a more difficult question. Who here has prayed for healing and not been healed? Almost more than have seen healing, right? And you can have seen healing and then prayed for it again and not been healed. I have seen miraculous healing. I've seen a man who has not walked in months, was on his deathbed. His legs were atrophied to the point to where you couldn't even imagine him holding a body up. And at the word of Christ, he stood and he walked. I have witnessed that. I've been a part of that. I have also been a part of praying for nearly a decade now that my wife would be healed of type 1 diabetes and not seen it happen. How do you reconcile those two things? Isn't that where the difficulty lies in reconciling those? Like, we know that it happens. I've heard stories from people I trust that it happens. I've seen it happen, but it hasn't happened for me, or I haven't seen it happen. How do we reconcile that? There should not be any doubt that Jesus can and does heal people. There should be no doubt about that. That's not a gray area in Scripture. That's not one of those things like, well, that happened then, but it doesn't happen anymore. Matthew 15, 30 to 31 says this. It's kind of a long one, but we got it up there, so follow along. And large crowds came to him, bringing with them those who were limping, had impaired limbs, were blind, were unable to speak, and many others, and they laid them down at his feet, and he healed them. So the crowd was astonished as they saw those who were unable to speak talking, those with impaired limbs restored, those who were limping around, or limping walking around, and those who were blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. That happens. Jesus is a healer. Without question, without debate. The question is, how does that transmit to us? How can we ask for it? How should we ask for it? How does that work? Does healing happen every time we pray for it? Does it? Some people would say yes. Many people, in fact, would say yes every time. I would say no. And here's why. Have you ever heard the phrase, Jesus will heal you either here and now or there and then? Ever heard that? How comforting was that to you when your loved one was the one who needed healing? Not very. I'm pretty sure that those who ask the Lord for healing prayer, either on the behalf of someone else that they care about or on their own behalf, they're not hoping to get healed once they get to heaven and receive their perfect heavenly bodies. The answer, when do we want it? Now. We want it now. When we ask for healing, when I pray for healing for Gabe, or when I pray for healing for any one of a number of aches and pains that I have. I'm not hoping like, okay, someday when I receive my glorified body in heaven, I will be healed. Hallelujah. That's great. But that's not what I'm asking for today. I want to be healed right now, today. And so it is a ripe situation to be disappointed. It's a ripe situation to sin by doubting God, by blaming God, all the things that we would do by blaming one another. Maybe the question, does God heal every time we pray for it, should be, did we get something wrong? What did we get wrong? In all the accounts in Scripture of healing and all the things that we've seen and we've heard and we've been taught over the years, what did we get wrong? Something doesn't exactly mesh. Some of the strongest, most wonderful Christians that I have ever known have had sickness and death happen to them, despite the fact that people were praying against it with all their heart. And it happened anyway. So how do we reconcile that? Again, this is what we're talking about. So we ask questions like, did I get it wrong? Here's what you'll hear. You don't have enough faith. Anybody hear that in response to the fact that you haven't been healed? Do I not have enough faith? Jesus tells us that even tiny faith, like a mustard seed, tiny faith is enough. That's all he needs, is tiny faith. So it can't be that. It can't be that you don't have enough faith. Do I have unrepentant sin? Sometimes you hear that. That could be an issue, but it doesn't have to be. Jesus healed people when he walked around. He healed people. He didn't ask them, have you confessed your sins first? There were times when he did, but not every time. Sometimes he just simply said, be healed. Or he would say, be healed now, stop sinning. It doesn't have to be in some kind of formula order. The other thing we hear, have you not found the right combination of words? Have I not just stumbled upon the proper way to say it, or the proper way to ask? We'll hear that all the time too. In fact, I see many people, well-meaning people, there's nothing wrong with it, but we should be praying from the heart. But they copy prayers that they've heard other people say because they sound really good. And we're all guilty of it to a point of saying certain words and phrases that sound good. But Jesus healed the centurion's servant without even a word. He said, she's healed. She's fine. He healed the leper by just saying, be made clean. That's not a very flowery prayer. Be made clean. The power of Christ can do that. It's not dependent on what we're able to do and how we're able to do it. Are my prayers too weak? Am I praying weak, ineffective prayers? I've seen that. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people be accused of that. Your prayers are just weak and ineffective. Matthew 6:8 tells us your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So if our Father knows what we need before we ask him, and all we do is come to him and just groan, he already knows what we want. However we express it is fine. We don't need to come up with the right words. Here's the worst one. Is God using this to punish me? Anybody ever heard that? Is God using this to punish me? Some of us have not heard it. We've actually said it to ourselves. Some sickness is a result of our choices, right? If you have a failed liver because you have been drinking to excess to the point to where you have damaged your liver, that's your fault. I'm not saying Jesus can't heal it. I'm not saying he won't heal it. But that's not a result of anything else other than the choices that we've made. Jesus is a healer. Scripture promises that. And a house divided cannot stand, it also says in Scripture. So God is not going to punish you for something that Jesus is trying to heal you of. It doesn't work like that. They are one. They are in one accord doing the same thing. So with all that, it's safe to say that healing prayer is misunderstood, right? Healing prayer is difficult. I was going to put a video, full disclosure, I was going to put a video together here about these traveling faith healers. All of us have in our mind a picture of some sort of a really flamboyant faith healing process, right? Most of us, I would be willing to say, those haven't resonated with us because it looks flashy, it looks showy, and it looks like, yeah, just, I don't know if I'm buying that. Most of us have seen things like that, but we've also seen things like that where we've seen people get up and walk, where we've seen people restore their sight, where we've seen limbs grow back. I have heard stories like that from people that I very much trust. So it just muddies the waters when you see all these things. There's an entire YouTube channel out there that's all just devoted to mocking faith healers. Some of them do amazing work, but it's not a formula. It's not a formula that you can just replicate. The question isn't if healing happens, it's how should we pray for it and why does it matter? That's the question that I'm asking here today. So again, many, myself included, have been hurt by healing prayer. Now, how does healing prayer hurt you? Anybody here, without answering why, anybody been hurt by healing prayer? Okay. I know that many of us have. I think the reason is because our well-meaning but very limited human minds do not know how to deal with, I'll say unanswered prayers, but it's not unanswered. It's prayers where we don't see immediate proof. Our minds can't pray for something like that and go, well, I'm okay not knowing. Our human minds are not okay not knowing. And so what we'll do is we'll go into Scripture and we'll pull out Scriptures that somehow we think we can either kind of torture it and twist it and mold it and shape it to give us the answer that we need, why healing didn't happen, just so that we can close the case and walk away. We're not okay not knowing why. And folks, as disciples of Christ, we need to be okay saying, I don't know why that happens. There's somebody here, somebody online, I know, myself included, we need to be okay saying, I don't know why the Lord does that, instead of making up an answer that may not be from God. Here's what I know. I do know this. Healing prayer is first and foremost for building up the body of Christ. First and foremost, for building up the body of Christ, and by doing that, to glorify God. That is what healing prayer is for. It's for manifesting the miraculous power of God so that people will be drawn to Him. That's what healing prayer is for. There are other sub-reasons to fulfill a messianic prophecy, to demonstrate Jesus' authority. All those things happened while Jesus was doing the healing prayer. But only in all of Scripture, it's only secondarily to heal an individual. Now, to that individual who's asking for and receiving prayer, it's huge. But that's not the bigger reason. Everything that the Lord does has multiple layers of reasoning that He does it for. And only one of those reasons is to heal that individual. All the rest are to bring glory to Him, to bring knowledge to Him, to draw people to Him. All of those things, that's what it's for. But we can thank Jesus that He loves us enough to leave the 99 to pursue that one, to heal that one, because it means everything to that one. But that's not all there is to healing. That is not all there is to healing. So the only wrong way to pray for healing, and hear this through this entire prayer series, I'm not trying to tell you there's a formula on how to pray, and if you pray this way, it's right, and if you pray this way, it's wrong. I'm not trying to do that. The last thing I want to do is complicate something we already complicate enough on our own. But I will tell you that the only wrong way to pray is any way that does not bring glory to God, and that by doing that does not bring life, but instead brings death and discouragement to the person being prayed for. In other words, if you pray for healing and you're discouraged, or the person you're praying for is discouraged afterwards, you're doing it wrong. It should not be discouraging. So why might you be discouraging? Why might you be discouraged? If our expectations are wrong. If our expectations of what healing prayer is going to accomplish are wrong, it leads to what we perceive as unfulfilled prayers, and then assigning blame. Whose fault is it? Is it Jesus' fault because he's not listening to me? Is it God's fault because he doesn't care? Is it my fault because my prayer was wrong? Is it your fault because you've got sin or something's wrong or your faith isn't big enough? Whose fault is it? All of those things hurt. All those things lead to discouragement. All of those things ultimately lead to sin. We're doing it wrong if you're seeing that kind of result. Our expectations are only going to be correct if we have first submitted them to God. That is true of all prayer. Before you pray for anything, healing prayer included, submit your requests to God. Give them to him. Remember the definition of prayer? Prosushumai is the Greek word. It means to exchange wishes, to exchange what you're praying for what he wants for you. That's literally what the word prayer means. 1 John 5, 14 and 15 says, "This is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." That part, according to his will, should be in giant bold red letters. And if we know that he hears whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests which we have asked from him. Verse 15 has the word ask twice. We ask that Jesus heals. We cannot demand. People stop demanding that Christ heals people. There's nothing that comes out of that. Occasionally, people are healed with those demands, because it's what the Lord wanted to do to begin with. But no matter how hard you demand that he heals right now in the name of Jesus, if it's not in his will, it's not going to happen. And then whose fault is that? Who's to blame for that? Who's leaving disappointed? We have to stop doing that. He didn't physically heal everyone. You look through scripture, it's full of people that Jesus did not heal. Paul wrote half of the New Testament, wrote more than half of the New Testament. He wasn't healed. He walked around with an ailment all the time. And he wasn't healed from that. Jesus does not always heal everyone. Now, our glorified bodies that we receive in heaven are perfect and faultless, right? There's total healing in heaven. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about healing here. A popular scripture that gets used for healing a lot, other than "by his stripes we are healed," which Peter also echoes later, but it's this one from James. Jesus' half-brother, James, says this in chapter 5, verse 13, 14. "Is anyone among you suffering? Then he must pray. Is anyone cheerful? He's to sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." And then verse 15, "And the prayer of faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he's committed sins, they'll be forgiven him." That word, the prayer of faith, is what leads us to think that if somebody's not healed, it's that our prayers don't contain enough faith. I cannot reconcile that with Jesus himself saying, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can ask that mountain to move and it will do it. Tiny faith, even tiny faith, is all that it needs. Our God is that powerful. We got something wrong. So let's look at some of these words here. The word restore in the word in the scripture, prayer of faith in verse 15, the prayer of faith will restore the one who is sick. If we look at that word restore, it's a Greek word. Again, this is all New Testament scriptures were written in Greek, and so we're translating through back to English, which is so limited. The word restore there in verse 15 is the word sozo. Sozo defines as either one of three things. It's used as saved, healed, or delivered. Saved, healed, or delivered. The word is the same word, and it's used in different places in Scripture. And then we'll restore, so we'll save, heal, and deliver the one who is sick. The word sick, again, translates, again, Greek word, it's kamno, K-A-M-N-O, kamno. And what it means is weary to the point of collapse. It doesn't mean I've got a sore shoulder or a broken bone. It means weary to the point of collapse. So the prayer of faith will save, heal, or deliver whatever they need at that moment to make themselves whole, the one who is weary to the point of collapse. It's what Jesus meant in Matthew 11, 28 when he said, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." That's what he meant. That's what he meant, and that's what he came to do, is to take our burdens, sickness, mental issues, everything, all of our burdens. That's what he wants to do. So we continue in James' thought. We jump back to verse 16 in James. "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. A prayer of a righteous person, when it's brought about, can accomplish much." We're going to continue in a Greek lesson here. The word healed there is a Greek word, and it's yaomai. Yaomai, and the definition is to make whole. You will be made whole. So there's so much to look at in that scripture, that James 14 through 16, James 5, 14 through 16. Look at that and study that out, because there's so much there. But if we boil it all down, it means that the promise of healing that Jesus Christ offers can be physical, yes, but he is so much more concerned with your spiritual well-being. So much more concerned with your spiritual well-being. He wants to take your burdens and make you whole. Now, is physical issues, physical healing, a part of that? Absolutely. But that's not his focus. He wants you to be whole. Every time he healed somebody, he did it, said, "Go and sin no more." He was concerned with their spiritual well-being more than their body. And if healing their body helped to lead to that, then that was great. But that's not what his primary focus was. He did not physically heal everyone, but he spiritually healed everyone who wanted it. Everyone who wanted spiritual healing, he gave it. This is 1 Peter 2:24. "He himself brought our sins in his body up on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds you are healed." He's quoting Isaiah. We might die to sin and live for righteousness. By the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, you are made whole. That's what all those scriptures are pointing to. It's not just a New Testament teaching either. It's not just a new thing. Psalm 47, verse 3, we've heard this one too. "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." You've heard that before, right? Jesus is a healer. He heals the brokenhearted, binds up their wounds. That word heals in Psalms, so everything Old Testament is Hebrew, right? So in Psalms, we have to look to the Hebrew root, and the Hebrew root of the word heals is a word called Rapha. Anybody ever heard that word? It's one of the names of God, Jehovah Rapha. It means to cause to be mended or to make whole. God is a healer. Jesus is a healer. Jesus is the one that God brought healing to the world through. But remember, we have to remember that the reason for supernatural healing is to bring the power of God and the glory of God on display to the world so that he will be given glory. There's nothing not supernatural. All healing is supernatural. All healing is. I don't care if it's a medicine that you take that does it. God is the one who designed that medicine to be found, to be produced, to be put into your body, and the mechanisms by which that medicine, even if it's as simple as aspirin, gets into your body, God's the one that designed all those pathways. So it's all through him. It's all through him. So before I get to how we should then pray about healing, I want to take a second and just a note about the gift of healing. This is where it can get contentious. So give me grace and listen to what I'm going to tell you, okay? Jesus has given us the authority, all of us, the authority to approach the Father with our requests through Christ, through the Holy Spirit, healing included. We all have that authority and that ability to approach the Father directly with our request. But some have been given a special gift related to physical healing. It's a thing. It is a real thing, and some people have that special gift of healing. This gift, though, is not, it's not in them. They can't walk up and heal anyone on their own. They are only exercising that under the authority of Jesus Christ. And it's his power that does the healing, not the individual. We need to understand that. It's exercised under his authority as directed by the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit directs. So I would describe, now again, this is me. This is not scripture. This is me. I would describe the gift of healing as a heightened ability to perceive those who need healing and an increased sensitivity to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Right? And then you couple that with the obedience to pray that. Pray what you hear. Some people have that gift, and it is an incredible gift. The gift is made to build up the body of Christ. That's what it's for. And some people have that. But we all have access to be able to ask the Father, to approach him. And so when we pray for healing, it has to be a supernatural process. It cannot be just by rote. This is what we say. This is what we say every time. It can't be that way. It needs to be. It is a supernatural process. And here's what the process looks like. Number one, we seek the Holy Spirit for what and how to pray. I mean, every time. Somebody comes to you and asks, would you pray for my sore leg? Sure, I'm going to pray to the Lord first and find out how he wants me to pray. It only has to take a second, and we don't even have to say the words out loud, but we need to do it. And then what we do is we pray what we hear in faith. Remember, even tiny faith is enough. But that faith, that word that comes from hearing from the Holy Spirit, that's all we need. Then, third step, we wait with confidence and expectation, but submitting all of it to his sovereign will. Everything to his sovereign will. And then the last step is we praise him because he is good, not because we get what we want. We praise him simply because he's good. And we may or we may not see evidence of that healing happen right there. But we still praise him. So as an example, and we're going to do this a couple different ways. If you have something that you want to pray for healing for you, yourself. You can pray this along with me. And I'm just going to show you an example of how to pray. Lord, you are so good to me. You know my heart's desire for what needs to be healed in my body. So Lord, I ask you, is there any barrier to me receiving healing today? Lord, I ask that your will be done, and I trust in your divine love for me. Thank you for sending Jesus so that I might be made whole in body, mind, and spirit. And so I ask for your divine restoration now. To you be all the glory. Amen. One of the key steps there is there any barrier to receiving healing in my body? You should have, ideally, heard something from the Holy Spirit right then. Yes, there's a barrier. No, there's not a barrier. And if there is one, what is it? We can ask that question. Now, there's a rule. I meant to teach on this earlier, and I'll teach on it more in deliverance. It's called the rule of firsts. When you pray something and you're asking the Holy Spirit something, Holy Spirit, is there a barrier to me receiving healing today? And you feel or you hear something in your spirit, go with that. Don't question it. Because when we question it, what we're doing is giving Satan a chance to go, oh, let me weigh in on that. The first answer you hear is the one typically that we should go with. So when I ask, is there a barrier to you receiving healing today? Did anybody hear? And you don't have to raise a hand. Did anybody hear? Yes, there is. Okay, if you heard, yes, there's a barrier to you receiving healing today, then here's what we need to do. Or if you didn't hear from the Holy Spirit at all. Some people have a hard time hearing from the Holy Spirit because we just haven't practiced it, right? So here's another way that we can do. We pray through these steps. Number one, confess your sins. Confess your sins. Unrepentant sin can manifest in physical ways. We see that in Matthew 9. In Matthew 9, they brought a paralyzed man, remember? The friends actually brought him in on a stretcher. And Jesus, he didn't say, I'm going to heal you. He said, take courage, your sins are forgiven. That's the first thing he said. And then after that, he said, take up your mat and walk. He forgave his sins. So we need to confess any unrepentant sin that we have. Second one, we have to forgive those who have trespassed against us, people who have sinned against us, forgive them. Forgiveness is a huge barrier to us hearing from the Holy Spirit. Then the third thing, reject any of the lies that you've heard about healing, any of the lies that you believe about healing. God don't, God won't, he doesn't anymore, he can't heal me, I'm too broken to heal, whatever it is. Here's a big one that the Lord just showed me. I've been prayed for a dozen times or more for this very thing, and it's never happened. Clearly, God doesn't want to do it. Maybe he wants to today. Reject the lies you've been believing. Then hear from the Holy Spirit. What's the truth? If I've been believing that lie about healing, what is the truth that you want me to know? These are all questions that we ask the Spirit directly. Then, very important, we submit our will to his. And we're thankful no matter what the results are. No matter what the results, we are thankful because we know that he's good and we know that he loves us. Here's what not to do. Okay, this is very important. Here's what not to do. Don't get discouraged or put someone in the position to be discouraged by the results they see or don't see. What does that look like? It looks like receiving healing prayer, and then the very well-meaning ministers step back and go, how do you feel? That has happened to me so much that I no longer go to people for healing prayer. Just being honest with you. How do you feel? Well, inside I'm going, my leg still hurts. I still can't put weight on it, but I'm going to discourage them if I say, it still hurts. Or they'll just make me sit back down and they'll hammer away at me until I say it's healed. Very well-meaning people treat prayer like that. I'm asking you to stop. If you're one of those, don't do that. That puts people, yourself included, in a position to be discouraged. We are never promised physical healing in our bodies. Not here on earth. We are not. So stop saying things like, your healing is already done, there and then. Stop saying that. That's not what we're praying for. When we pray for that here on earth, I'm not praying that when I die and go to heaven, I'll feel better. I want it now. We are promised this, that our Lord and Savior is mostly concerned about our eternity. Concerned about our eternity. He has secured our place in heaven with him, and that is a promise. So no matter where we are on this earth, whether our physical healing happens or whether it does not happen, God is good because the most important thing we could ever have is eternal salvation with him in Christ. And we have that. That's a promise. Everything else is just a bonus. And if he says, that bonus is not what you need today. What you need is a little bit more perseverance. What you need is to be able to deal with that in a way that brings me glory by other people seeing the fact that I haven't healed you and you still praise me. That's good. Maybe there's a reason why he hasn't healed you yet. If it's not in his sovereign plan, it's not going to happen. We all need to hear this part, though. Getting this wrong, getting all of this wrong, will not hamper God's desire or will if he wants to heal you. So we can't say, I got the prayer wrong. I didn't go for prayer. I should have gone up for that healing prayer call. I should have gone up for all that, but I didn't, and that's why I'm still sick. If God wants to heal you, you are going to be healed. His compassion and his mercy are too great for that. Thankfully, he doesn't let our failings get in the way of what he wants to do. Amen? The danger, though, of getting it wrong is that you might just give Satan a foothold. You might just give Satan a foothold of doubt, of blame, and of sin that he's going to exploit later. That's the danger. He's already lied once, and it resulted in the curse of a fallen world. That's why we're all susceptible to sickness and decay. He's already lied once. He'll do it again. That's what he does. Healing prayer should always help to tear down the works of Satan, not give him ammunition to use against us later. It should bring all glory to God. How many remember the story of Job? Some people refuse to even read the book of Job because they go like, that's all depressing and bad. That's all I know about it. So they won't even read it. It is so incredible. Job had everything. 7 sons, 3 daughters, 7,000 sheep. This Job, by the way, the oldest book in the Bible in terms of things that were other than Genesis that were to have happened. So in ancient times, 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 oxen, 500 female donkeys, servants, a nice house, and more. He had status. He had everything. And then literally in the blink of an eye, if you read Job, it's like 3 sentences. He loses everything. He loses everything. And what's his response? Job chapter 1, verse 20 and 22. If you read Job, if you want the synopsis, the cliff notes, read chapter 1 and read chapter 42, the first and the last. Now, there's a lot that happens in between, but Job 1, 20 to 22. Then Job got up, tore his robe, shaved his head, then he fell to the ground and worshiped. He said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Despite all this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. That's incredible. After losing all that stuff, and the result of that happens at the other end of the book of Job, Job 42, verse 10. The Lord also restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends, and the Lord increased double that all Job had. Lord promises that he has our good at heart, and we don't always know it as we're going through it. We're blessed if we can see it. When it's all over, we can look back and say, the Lord was so good. That's what Psalms is all about. David lamenting his position, and at the end when he's older, looking back saying, God, you were so good to me. That's what it's about. So I want to pray in closing. We're going to do healing testimonies probably next week because I want people to be able to simmer on that for a little bit. But I'm going to say a prayer in closing, and the prayer that I'm going to do is one that I spent some time kind of writing it out so that it makes sense. It's not a formula, but I want you to pray it along with me if you need healing. If you need healing, let's pray to the Father together, and I'll pray for us. But agree with the words if you want healing. Heavenly Father, I thank you for loving me. I thank you for sending your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to the world to save me and to set me free. I trust in your power and grace that sustains and restores me. Loving Father, touch me now with your healing hands. I believe that your will is for me to be well in mind, body, soul, and spirit. Cover me with the most precious blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, from the top of my head to the soles of my feet, casting out anything that should not be in me. Root out any unhealthy and abnormal cells. Open any blocked arteries or veins and rebuild and replenish any damaged areas. Remove all inflammation. Cleanse any infection. Heal any wound by the power of Jesus' precious blood. Let the fire of your healing love pass through my entire body to heal and make new any diseased areas, that my body will function the way you created it to function. Touch my mind, my heart, my emotions, even the deepest recesses of my heart. Saturate my entire being with your presence, your love, your joy, your peace, and draw me closer to you in every moment of my life. And Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit to empower me to do your work so that my life, my words, everything will bring you glory and honor in your holy name. And I ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you agree with that prayer, folks, say amen. All right. We're going to go into communion now. And I don't want it to be something the worship team is going to play. But I don't want communion to ever be something that we just do, because now is the time when we do it. I want you to think about the fact as you come up for it, and you don't have to be a member here. All you have to do is be able to say, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and then we invite you to take communion with us. We'll have two stations here, and you just dip the bread or the cracker in the wine, or we have one in the back that's self-serve. When you take communion, think about what you're doing. You're taking the body of Christ, the body of Christ literally put on a cross and broken, abused, and beat to take the punishment that we all deserve on him. And by doing that, he received everything that we should have been given. And we receive everything that he should have been given. Remember that as we do that. And then the wine is the blood of Christ. And by that blood, we are washed clean of our sins. We no longer have to carry that blame with us. The accuser wants to constantly remind you of all of your faults, but the blood of Christ blocks that out. We don't have to listen to that anymore. He wants to. He'll remind you of it. So as you take the body and the blood of Christ, just remember, Jesus did that for you. You only have to accept it and deny the lies of the enemy to have freedom. Amen. Thank you, guys.